Good morning. Join us in singing the hymn of preparation as printed in the bulletin. Welcome you this morning to Main Street United Methodist Church, and Happy New Year to everybody. This is a new decade. We're going to start off with a bang today. Ask all of you to please fill out the attendance sheets located along the aisles on each one of the chairs here. Pass it back down the center aisle and put it in the offering plate if you would, please. We had Project Warm last week. We renovated and insulated 5 homes here in Greenwood County. We had approximately 75 people participating in the project, and we all got cold, and some of you got wet, and we had a wonderful time. Very successful project. The women's circles are starting back this week. Please check your circle schedule. Circles will be meeting this week and next week. If You Can't Go, Come and Sew is our newest project. This will be held this Wednesday from 3 to 8 p.m. and Thursday from 9 to 3 p.m. This is a project in which we are asking the members of the congregation to help out those who are going to the Honduras medical mission trip. We will be sewing dresses and other things for the missioners to take to Honduras with them. And this is a way that the congregation can help out if you can't go on the mission trip. And finally, if not the most important thing today, is undecorating of the church. We ask that those of you who can, and we hope to see a lot of you who can, please stay immediately after the worship service and help take all of the decorations back to the fellowship hall so that they can be packed up for next Christmas season. If everybody helps, it will only take a few minutes, and so we ask that you stop and help and just carry something back to the fellowship hall. Let us now prepare our hearts and minds for worship as the acolytes enter with the light of Christ. Thank you.
Those who are able, please stand and join me in the call to worship. Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of God has risen among us. Lift up your eyes to see all around you. Let your hearts rejoice and be radiant with joy, with hope. Receive again the promises of the gospel. Participate in the mystery of Jesus Christ.
Please join me in our invocation. Eternal God, because your purposes became clear to us in Jesus Christ, we come with boldness to claim our relationship with you. We are grateful for pioneers in the faith whose stewardship has salvaged for us a way of life rooted in the gospel. The flames you ignited in them have not gone out. In spite of our faithlessness, your wisdom is still proclaimed in the church, challenging centers of earthly power with the claims of heaven. Today, our search for meaning has led us to this place of worship. You are here. We rejoice. Amen.
Today's Old Testament reading is from the 60th chapter of Isaiah, verses 1 through 6. You can find this on page 844 in the Old Testament section of the Pew Bible. In this passage, Isaiah prophesies to the people just returning from exile that the day would come when all nations would stream to their light. Listen now for God's word to us. Arise, shine, For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. Today's epistle reading comes from the third chapter of Paul's letter to the Ephesians, verses 1 through 12. You can find this passage beginning on page 235 in the New Testament section of the Pew Bible. In this passage, Paul reveals that he has been the recipient of a special vision into God's plan of salvation. And not only the Jews were to benefit from God's plan of salvation, but the Gentiles as well. That is, all peoples of the earth. Listen again for God's word to us all. This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it has been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of his power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church, the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he was carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Mary.
As we come to our prayer time, I want to lift up as a thanksgiving the fact that we have completed as a church the second year of Project Warm. I want to thank everybody who funded that and gave their time and their talent. And I know that it was cold and miserable weather conditions, but I know also that it was a blessing to those who received and to those who gave as a part of that project. I want to lift up in a special way. I just found out this morning that Edgar Davis had a stroke this past week and is currently in the hospital. Let us be in prayer for Edgar and for Goldie. We lifted as a concern last week Susan McLean's nephew Tyler, and he is now out of danger from that particular problem, and we give thanks for that. I also want to pray in a special way as we begin a new year for those who have had financial and employment problems, specifically my brother David, who's been seeking a job for about a year, a friend of mine, Mike, who unexpectedly lost his job, and I think we know we have several members here who are seeking employment. Let us diligently be in prayer for those situations. Let us pray. Holy Father, Living Lord, Guiding Spirit, we thank you for your word, the word that became flesh and dwelt among us. We thank you for Jesus, born of Mary, who walked among us and revealed your grace and truth, your light in the darkness of this world. We thank you, Lord, that you chose to reveal yourself in him and in his actions of compassion and love, in his tenderness and in his anger, in his forgiveness and in his mercy. We thank you, Lord, that your word was found not just in his flesh, but also upon his lips, teaching us a way of life and showing us the road upon which we should travel, a road that ends in your embrace. We thank you too, Lord, for the word that you give us today and how it still takes on human flesh and the actions and the words of those who love you and your son Jesus. Help us, Lord, embody your word, to show forth the word of your love in all that we do. Make us a people who are more and more like Jesus, a people who are filled with your spirit and who seek to walk more perfectly in your ways. Help us to love you, to love ourselves, and to love our neighbors. We ask these things in Jesus' name. The same Jesus who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us continue our worship through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts.
God. The earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We do thank you for entrusting unto us enough resources to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these returns unto your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen.
Please be seated, and we invite the children forward for the children's message.
We'll let her finish, okay? How y'all doing this morning? Good to see y'all. Y'all excited? New year? Happy New Year to you. Okay, I want y'all to make sure you get where you can see. Mr. Larry, I want to ask if you'll stand up like you're directing the choir, please, sir. I want everybody, y'all make sure you can see now. Because when Larry's up there directing the choir, the members of the choir are looking at him. They're looking at him for direction. Right? Isn't that right, choir? Y'all looking at him for direction. Alright. Now, if they were a band and they had musical instruments, then there's also a conductor, someone that conducts them. That's who they're looking at. They're keeping their eye on him. I took a course one time. Know a little bit of what to do. No. Okay, but they've got their eyes. They've got their eyes on Larry, and he's their leader. Now, when you try to catch a ball, what do you have to do if you're going to catch a ball, or if you're going to hit a ball? What do you have to do? All right, you got to keep your eye on the ball. Now, you ready to catch one? You got to keep your eye on the ball. Pressure's on, isn't it? All right, here you go. Very good. Thank you. Okay. Because you got to keep your eye on the ball. If you're going to hit it or throw it or whatever, you got to keep your eye on the ball, right? Okay, in the scripture today and in the song that we're going to sing in just a minute, it talks about the wise men. And the wise men heard about Jesus and the baby Jesus, and they were going to find the baby Jesus. Now, what did they keep their eye on as they were going to find Jesus? The star. Very good. Give me five on that. That's great. They kept their eye on the star, and the star led them, and they followed that star. Now, as you're growing up, and as you're getting older, and you're learning more about Jesus, then you've got to keep your eye. You've got to find something to keep your eye on, to follow. Now, it may be your mother and daddy. It may be your grandparents. It may be an aunt and uncle. It may be an older brother or sister. It may be a neighbor that you keep your eye on. Could be a cousin. That's exactly right. Now, to give a little commercial here, what a responsibility that is for us that are sitting out in the congregation to know that the eyes of these young folks are on each of us as we sit out there. But we've got to find something to keep our eye on. The choir keeps their eye on Larry. A player playing a sport keeps their eye on the ball. Joe, you play soccer, don't you? In order to hit a soccer ball, you got to see the ball, don't you? You got to see it. Sir? Tennis. And you got to keep your eye on the ball. And then the wise men do what? Bowling, yes, definitely. You got to keep your eye on it.
Baseball.
Exactly. Anything, you got to keep your eye on the ball. The wise men kept their eye on the star. The star led them to the baby Jesus. As you grow in your faith, yes, we keep our eye on these folks out here to set an example for us. But more than that, we keep our eye on the light of the world. And who's the light of the world? Jesus is the light of the world. And that's who we urge you and encourage you, keep your eye on Jesus, because he's the light that we follow. And he's the one that leads us in the path we want to go. Let us pray. And you'll just repeat after me. Thank you, Jesus, for being the light of the world. We love you. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now let us carefully, without passing our colds or flu, pass the peace. Now let us affirm our faith through the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Ask you to please be seated, and if you would, please turn in the Pew Bible to page 111 to our reading today from the Gospel of John, the first chapter. And as you're turning to that page, I'm going to give you just a little bit of a history lesson. Those of you who read the different Gospels will notice they all have a different flavor. And in Matthew and Luke, you have the genealogy. Well, they're slightly different there too. In Matthew, it traces Jesus' genealogy all the way back to Abraham, the father of the Jews. But in Luke, to emphasize that he is not just Savior of the Jews, it traces his genealogy further than Abraham, back to Adam, before there were any covenants whatsoever, the very first man. I want you to look at the Gospel of John, to follow it and to understand as I read it, that this is sort of a spiritual genealogy. This is sort of a spiritual understanding of where Jesus came from, not just back to Abraham as in Matthew, not just back to Adam as in Luke, but back all the way to pre-existence with God before creation. The Word, the essence of God becoming flesh and dwelling among us. It's kind of a spiritual, theological Christmas story. From the Gospel of John, hear now verses 1 through 14 of the first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light, the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I think it's obvious to everyone that the cold I have had last week, I still have this week. It is a terrible, terrible cold. And one of my New Year's resolutions is to track down the person who gave it to me, plant a big kiss on their lips, and give it back. No, I'm not going to do that. But it is a terrible one, so I won't be shaking hands today. It wouldn't be a good thing. Now, in these first few days of the new year, many of us are, you know, we're trying to begin again, to start over with a new resoluteness and with new named resolutions to do better, to do more, to be more disciplined or maybe more generous or more forgiving or more in tune with nature and God's good earth. Or to take walks every afternoon or to do push-ups or sit-ups every day or to say I love you to the people you love and need to tell. But what pressure that is. What pressure that is if you are among those who have made these resolutions. We've just made it through Christmas. We don't even have the energy to get back up to normal. I don't. And here we are promising ourselves and maybe to God and spouses and family that we're somehow going to find more energy and more resources to do more. Do more? We barely made it out of last year. I can't personally really deal with the new year yet. And I'm not done with Christmas. The Christmas story, one more time for this year, from the Gospel of John. The Word, and notice in the Pew Bibles, the Word is capital W. That's something worth hitting the commentaries about. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word became flesh. It took on human form and lived among us, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the incarnate Word. He is the Word made flesh. He is God made flesh. Let that sink in. I don't know of any other faiths, and I have studied many other faiths, who make the claim that their God became flesh. You know, Orthodox Judaism finds this idea blasphemous. Seven centuries after the birth of Christ, came Muhammad in the Quran, and it's stated in the Quran that this is an outrageous idea and is not true. Other faiths cannot comprehend what we just say and sing about and don't feel the weight of. The Creator God became flesh and dwelt among us. He's the one, Jesus is the one who embodied the love of God in human form. Also the human form of God's forgiveness, the human form of God's mercy. He's the human form of God's justice, of God's truth. It is a sort of Christmas story in God beginning again, the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us. God, so that He could help us, decided to walk among us and to live among us as one of us, born of human, of a young woman, nurtured at a human breast and working at human task and dying a real death. God among us. God made flesh. God for us in Jesus Christ. What is remarkable about the Christmas story is not just that God chose to place all His glory and all His beauty and all His truth in human form. That's remarkable enough, but that He chose such a simple human being in which to take on flesh. God's Word, God's eternal Word, that was at the beginning of all things and without which nothing that was made could be made, came not upon a royal prince or a king, no. Not upon the form of a philosopher, wise and full of truth and living in an imperial palace, no. God's Word, the Word made flesh, came as a simple Word and a simple human being, born to a simple peasant woman and cared for by a simple carpenter in a land that time still seems to have forgotten. The Word made flesh is found in its fullness in a babe who had to lie in a feeding trough because there was no room for him in the inn. The Word made flesh is found in all its fullness in a child who, while obedient to his parents, still argued with his teachers and got lost in Jerusalem at age 12. the Word made flesh, is found in all its fullness in a young man who wandered the countryside, teaching the teachers and healing the sick and eating with sinners and forgiving those who needed forgiving. Jesus was the Word of God in all its fullness, and yet consider it was a word that had no home to call its own. It was a word that was denied and betrayed and finally killed in the hope that it would not be seen or heard again. God's Word took on flesh and dwelt among us and lived among us, first within the body of a simple woman and then in the body of a simple man. And that Word was both accepted and rejected, but in rejection and then later in death, it could not be destroyed. Notice in the reading today, it said the light came into the darkness and the darkness could not put it out, could not destroy it. Other translations say could not comprehend it or could not understand it. It's a difficult Greek word, but it means all of those things. This is the Christmas story. It is a story that continues today because the Word of God is an eternal Word. It is a lasting Word. It is an undefeatable Word. Jesus, the Word of God, is still among us. He is here as Spirit, teaching His followers, us, that which we need to know, and comforting us as His disciples with the comfort that we need, and leading us to the truth that we need to know as we journey forward and grow. And what is the truth that we need to know? Truth is the same as it was when Jesus walked among us. The truth of God that Jesus would have us know and to live out is the acts of love that He performed, we are to perform. The acts of mercy that He performed, we are to perform. It is the truth that they utter, the justice that we struggle for, and the forgiveness that we bestow. In these acts, God's Word is still made flesh today. Through you and me. Not perfectly and not consistently, but still made flesh when we live out our faith, when we live inspired and urged on by the Spirit of God. God's Word takes on flesh when we bring food to the church to give out here on Thursdays, or when we deliver groceries to the food bank to be given out there during the week. God's Word becomes flesh through the actions of those like doctors and pharmacists who volunteer at United Ministries to treat those who don't have any regular physician, or through the ministry that's ongoing of the Faith Home to those ravaged by the effects of drugs and alcohol. And God's Word becomes flesh through you in Project Warm when you worked on homes last week, making repairs and homes and hearts a little bit warmer. The Word of God took on flesh in a unique and tremendous way through Jesus of Nazareth, and it takes on flesh today wherever the Word is believed and lived out. God's Word wears human flesh in those who obey the risen Lord and heed the living God and follow God's Holy Spirit. And as it was in Jesus, where the Word was found in a simple man and born to simple parents, so the Word today is found in flesh, in simple acts of love and kindness when we listen to that still small voice that urges us to go and do, and we go and we do. The Word takes on flesh. And those who heal, and those who make peace, and those who forgive, and those who seek justice, and those who share, and those who show mercy. And so, Christianity is not a philosophy. It is an incarnational theology. God came here in flesh. God moved in here, and we saw Him. We beheld His face, and we beheld His glory, and we said, "Oh! That's how life is supposed to be. That's what God wants us to be. That is what God has wanted all along." And then God sent His Holy Spirit to empower us to live incarnational lives right in the middle of the messes we live in. The Word is supposed to become flesh all over the place through God's people, the church. I'm afraid I'm going to let you out early today. Is it okay? Is it okay? Is that okay? But I want to close with a very simple but profound poem by John Donne. He wrote concerning this very idea in the Gospel of John. He said, "'Twas much that man was made like God before, but that God should be like man, much more." Amen. Please stand. Receive this blessing, the blessing of the full knowledge of the love of God the Father, the grace and forgiveness which is yours through Jesus Christ, and the power and the presence and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. You have been blessed. Now be a blessing to others in Jesus' name. Amen.